good song. Want to ask for your prayers today as I try to share the Word of God with you and the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to read today from one of the Psalms. If you would like to read along with me, please turn to Psalm 35. And I want to begin reading there with the first verse. Psalm 35, beginning with the first verse. And this this psalm, you know, I don't know, different ones put, depending on what type of Bible you may have. I know for, in mine, there has been a line put here that says that this was a prayer for safety, a prayer for safety. And Psalm 35, beginning with verse 1, the psalmist said, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they, have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." And that's reading the first 9 verses of that 35th Psalm for a scripture reading. And I would like to talk about the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. And we are certainly told throughout the scriptures that they exist. Now, I know that we are told what we find in the Apostle Peter's writings in 1 Peter chapter 5, where we are told about our adversary, the devil. The Apostle Peter said that we needed to be sober and be vigilant because we have an adversary, and he is the devil. And as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we know that we have the devil is against God. He's against God's people. He opposes everything about God. He opposes everything that's truth. And we know that he is our enemy. And it was actually the reason that the Apostle Paul wrote what he did to the church at Ephesus when he told them that they needed to put on the whole armor of God, was that they might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so, as I said, we know that the scriptures plainly teach us that we have an enemy in the devil. But we also have many examples in the scriptures that there are those who follow his evil ways. And we also have many examples that we know that there are human enemies, that there are people spoken of throughout the Bible that have been enemies of the Lord and of his work and of his people. And we also find throughout the scriptures, and you can find this spoken of many times, both in the Old and the New Testament, where God's people, sometimes it was collectively, sometimes it was recorded of one of them, like this 35th Psalm was concerning David, where God's people would go to him and they would beg for God's help. They would pray that God would help them against their enemies. And that's what David was doing here, and that's what we have record of in this psalm. He was going to the Lord for help. He was pleading with God that God would help him to be able to endure those that would strive against him, those that would fight against him. And the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Philippians, he spoke of them as being the enemies of the cross. The enemies of the cross. And I want to share these verses from Philippians chapter 3 in verses 18 and 19. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Now, I think that we can see that there are times, and we certainly have examples of this in the Scriptures, and I believe that we can see it happening now, that there are times when the battle seems to rage perhaps more than it does at other times. You can find times all throughout the history of the human race upon this earth. You can find examples ever since man has been trying to serve God and to be obedient to the Lord. You can find examples of that being opposed, of God being opposed, of His people being opposed. But then we also find examples like we did with the example that we have in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles concerning the church at Jerusalem. We can read about times when the battle really gets heated up. And the Bible tells us there in the 8th chapter of Acts that there arose a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And because of that great persecution, they were scattered. And, you know, there have always been, ever since the founding of this nation that you and I live in today, there have always been enemies of the cross. There have always been those that have opposed the work of God. There have always been those that wanted to try to hinder the work of God. But then there are times along the way when it just seems, when the battle just seems to really rage. And it seems like that in the day that we are living in right now, perhaps there are those that oppose the things of God, that oppose the Lord, that oppose His Word, that oppose His people, that have become a lot more enraged and much more outspoken about their evil plot than what there have been in the past. And I believe that we can see that happening. But you know, no matter what, no matter how the circumstances are, or no matter what the situation is, there has been something that God's people have been able to count on. There's been someone that we have been able to depend on all along the way, and that is God. That is the God that we serve, and we have always been able to have confidence that if we look to the Lord, that He is able to deliver. And, you know, here David in this psalm, he is sending up a prayer to God. And you can find examples of this many times throughout the life of David. This is spoken of many times throughout the Psalms, where he would turn to the Lord. Of course, you know, David was a soldier. He was the king. He was the commander-in-chief there for a while of the army of Israel. And he was well acquainted with battle. But, you know, we have many examples also of how that David, he never relied on himself. He didn't rely on his own power. We find him oftentimes praying to God and seeking the Lord for His help. In the 27th Psalm, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I fear?" And in the 46th Psalm, we're told, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, even though the earth be removed." And so God is always there for His people, and He's always our stay. God has always been our rock. He's always been our salvation. He's always been the one that has the power and the means to deliver us from the enemy. And I'm very thankful for that, that God is with us and that the Lord will help us. And I want you to notice something here also in this, that David was content, it seems, to turn this over to the Lord. And you know, there are things, there are many things that we know that we cannot do ourselves. There are things that we just cannot accomplish. There are things that God doesn't intend for us to do by ourselves. I know that perhaps you've heard the saying oftentimes, "God helps those that help themselves." Well, you know, I guess perhaps in some things we could look at that way, but let me tell you something else too. God helps those that realize they cannot help themselves. God helps us in times when we realize that if we're going to be delivered, if we're going to be helped, that it's going to have to come from the Lord, that we're going to have to turn it over to God because we are not sufficient ourselves to take care of the problem. And I believe that David realized that many times, and that's why that we have the statements that we find made throughout the psalm, throughout the Psalms, where he would be pleading with the Lord for His help and for His strength. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's what we need to do. I'll tell you what, if and I believe that we all know, and I don't you know, mean to just keep harping about this and keep bringing this up, but I believe that we all are aware that we are a nation of people in trouble. And, you know, God is our refuge and strength, and He's a very present help in trouble. And I'll tell you what, if we're going to see this turned around and see things begin to head in the right direction and see a return to the things that we have left behind, it's going to take the power of God to accomplish it. And we're not going to do it by ourselves. And it's not going to be accomplished by man. I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, we've only always ever needed one Savior. One Savior. And that's God. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he made a statement that reminds me of what David was speaking about here in this 35th Psalm. Again, I want you to look at this. David said, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me." He was content to turn it over to the hands of the Lord. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 14 and 15, and you know, this is something that is in the closing of the second epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy, and we may just, this may be something tucked away in there. This may be a verse that we would just read and just, just scan over it and not really pay that much attention to it. But the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about a man named Alexander who was a coppersmith. And in his the closing of his epistle, he felt it necessary to warn his young friend Timothy concerning this. And this is what he said. He said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." And I'll tell you what, for those today in the world that are willing to stand up for the Lord, that are willing to stand for the truth, that are willing to be ambassadors for Christ in this world, you can be sure that there are people that will desire to do you evil. And we know that there have been times throughout the history of the church, there have been times where people have even desired that to the point that they were willing to do physical harm and even to put the people of God to death. And so Paul said to Timothy, this man, this Alexander, this coppersmith, did me much evil. But, Paul didn't say to Timothy, "I'm going to get him. You know, I'm going after him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to take this matter into my own hands, and I'm going to deal with this." What Paul said was, he said, "The Lord reward him according to his works." And he said, "Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." And so I believe there that we have another great example of the Apostle Paul being willing, as David was, to turn this man over to the Lord, to put this in God's hands, and to know that the Lord is able to take care of that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in the first three verses, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." You know, I believe that today, and it ought to be obvious to all of us, that in our society today, in this part of the world that you and I live in today, that there are unreasonable and wicked people all around us. I'll tell you what, there are people, it seems, that are set on doing nothing but evil. You know, the scriptures tell us that it had reached that point in the days of Noah before God brought the flood upon the world. It had got to the point where God looked down and he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And it seems that in the world today, there are people that are bent on doing things that just contradict the Word of God. If the Word of God says it's good, they don't want to do it. They want to contradict God's Word. They want to say that God's Word is old and outdated and doesn't apply to us anymore. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, everybody that believes that, everybody that lives their life on earth going against the Word of God, believing that the Word of God doesn't apply to them, believing that it's just some antiquated writings that doesn't have anything to do with them. One day they're going to stand before the great God of judgment and find out they were wrong. God's serious about His Word. He's serious about the things that He says. And so, the Apostle Paul, of course, he lived and ministered in a time of physical persecution. And he prayed that they would be delivered from these unreasonable and wicked men. He went on and said, "For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful." The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I love God's Word, don't you? I love the truth of God's Word. Wish I knew more about it than I do. But I know that I love it. And I know that when we preach the Word of God, that people can hear what they need to hear in order to be saved. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's in the message of the gospel that those of us that are here today that have been saved, it was through the message of the gospel that the information came to us to let us know what the Lord required of us. In order to be saved, to let us know what the Lord had done for us in order that we could be saved. And we ought to treasure the truth, and we ought to be willing to stand for the truth, and we ought to be willing to defend the truth, and we ought to realize that if we're willing to do that, that there's going to be great opposition that would rise up against us. And we shouldn't be surprised, should we? We really shouldn't be surprised, because we can read about it happening all throughout time. And we can go even beyond the scriptures in the history that men have recorded, and we can see that the people of God have been a pursued people, they've been a persecuted people. I'm telling you what, friends, there's people in the world today that just don't like truth. They don't like truth. They don't like things that have to do with purity. They don't like things that have to do with goodness. They want to do evil. People want to do evil. And you know, when we read about what the scriptures teach us, that's the nature of man, to do evil. I'll tell you what, outside of God, we're evil. We're evil. Oh, people say, "Oh, this person, he's a good man, and this is a good woman, and this is a good man." That's not what the book says, is it? The Bible says that God looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and He found that there was none good, no, not one. And the only thing that can be good about a person is what the Lord does for us. And I want you to know something as I stand before you today, and I have no problem at all admitting this, that the only thing that's good about me is what God has put in my heart. The Apostle Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And apart and separate from the Lord, we're evil." We have the nature of sin. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature what? Wonderful people, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we are, according to our nature. But thank God he can work in us supernaturally and can bring us to repentance. And those who strive to serve him have always been opposed and have always had enemies. And, you know, there's one thing, and I believe this is very, very important. If we're going to be the children of God, we've got to embrace this. There's one thing that we cannot do. We cannot hate our enemies. We can't do that. We're the children of God, right? We are to show our love to the world, and Jesus taught us that. And what a difficult teaching that truly is. But Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said this. He said, I say unto you, love your enemy. Love your enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know what? Those who oppose the Lord, those who oppose truth, those who oppose the church, you know what the best thing that you and I could hope for is? For them to get saved. To get saved, and God can save anybody. God saved the Apostle Paul when he was called Saul and he was out to persecute the Lord's church. God saved him and turned him into a mighty advocate for the truth. God can still do the same thing today. These people that are so determined to bring evil upon the land, God can change their hearts. And we need to pray for them in that way, that he will, that they will come to him. Sometimes I find myself being surprised and astonished at some of the things that I see and some of the things I hear. And then I realize I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be, because it's gone on for years and years and years. And when man follows his own nature, let me tell you something, he's prone to evil. Prone to evil. Rather than good, we're prone to evil. God is the one that can make us good. And so, you know, we need to, you know, we need to be together, and we need to realize that we have a great adversary, and that he has many followers in the world today. And take it to the Lord, like David did. Say, Lord, you take care of this. You plead my cause with them that strive against me and them that seek to harm this cause that we are greatly involved in. And those are the thoughts that the Lord placed upon my heart today. And you know what? I don't think that we need to close our eyes and just say, well, everything's okay, everything's going to be all right. We need to be praying. Amen. We need to be praying, and we need to be seeking the Lord for His help and for His strength. And I want to ask Brother Ernie if he would to come, and let's have a couple of songs. As I said, we want to invite everybody downstairs.